Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this is going to be a great Wednesday show. I'm so excited about it. Second hour, Rose Sweet will be here. We haven't talked to Rose in a long time, and I am thrilled that Rose will be in studio with us, and we'll get to talk again. We'll talk about marriage, divorce, and annulments with Rose, all subjects on which she is an expert. This hour, another one we have not seen for a long time, Father Vincent Serpa. Father was chaplain here at Catholic Answers for 317 years. He's a Dominican priest, and he's now returned to a Dominican home. Well, he's a parish or a larger community where you're living, Father.
Well, there are six friars, and it is parish, but we also have a cemetery here. It's kind of a good-sized place.
I might have exaggerated the number of years that you were chaplain here. But
many moons.
But you were here. You were chaplain for a long time.
17 years.
Yes. And week after week, you would, or day after day, we had Mass in the morning, you would preach to us about the love of God. And I always thought, really felt that you wanted us to know God loved us. I thought that's a pretty good thing for a chaplain to want people to know.
Well, yeah, because the Lord wants you to shape up, you know. I mean, he wants everybody to shape up, not just you.
Yeah, right. Oh, now, Father. Our number, 888-318-7884. When Father is here, we talk about your spiritual life. If there are issues in your spiritual life you'd like to talk about, if you have issues with prayer, maybe a family issue or something about the sacraments and you, we'd love to talk about that. If you have apologetics questions, we'll hold those for another time. 888-318-7884, the number. Father is happy if you're a big sinner, to yell at you and tell you to stop sinning. Am I correct about that, Father?
Well, you tell me.
No, I don't think
you know me. I was there a long time.
I don't think you'll yell, but you. I did hear you say to somebody, "We'll stop sinning once," and it was one of the funniest answers ever. Because I mean, it wasn't funny; it was very serious. But it was like the person was saying, "I'm doing this," and I want to go to communion, but the person couldn't go to communion because what they were doing. You said, "Well, stop sinning, then you go to communion." So, just give that up. Well, I'm so happy to see you, Father. And you're in the northern regions of California.
It's still the San Francisco Bay Area, but it's a little north of San Francisco and Oakland. It's technically in the Sacramento Diocese, but we're still basically in the Bay Area. We're down the western tip of the Sacramento Diocese.
And so you've got where you live, you can hear the trains, you can hear cars, planes, and ships.
Ships.
It all goes on right around where you live.
Oh, yeah.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. I'm going to give you a question out of left field about the spiritual life, and you'll see when I say it, it's completely out of context. But let's say you... we're a Catholic person who suddenly became, for whatever reason, discouraged about the life of the Catholic Church. As I'm saying, it's completely unrelated to anything actually going on in the world right now.
Of course.
But what do you say to a person who starts to feel discouraged or beaten down about their relationship with the Church?
Well, this has been going on for a long time. People are pretty discouraged and beaten down. I mean, I don't think you could be any more beaten down than the apostles were when they saw their Savior hanging on the cross, dead. From that came great good, which is the only reason why the Lord allows evil in the first place. Over and over throughout the church, whenever it's been persecuted or whenever it's been down in any way, it's only that it can grow up fresh and greater than it ever was before. In our own lives, the Lord allows us to foul up, to sin, to make mistakes. Only that as a result of that, we end up loving Him more than we would have otherwise. That's the only reason why the Lord allows any of this stuff. But we take it on faith, just as the apostles had to take it on faith. And then, of course, then He rose and they saw it all came together. But then, with the exception of St. John, they were all martyred. They all had to go through that, and evil seemed to triumph, and of course it didn't.
All right. So when you're in the midst of something like the suffering of, excuse me, the crucifixion, it's hard to make sense of it. Excuse me.
I've never had this happen before. Many times I've been on.
I'm going to tell you why.
First,
I have never had this happen before, but I'm going to tell you why it did in a second. But I want you to tell me about finding hope in the midst of the crucifixion.
Well, the fact is, it's a matter of recognizing. It's a matter of faith. It's basically a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting the Lord and taking Him at His word. When He tells us to put Him before all else and to follow Him, then we do that. And I mean, He did this when he in St. John, chapter 6 of St. John, when He was talking about the Eucharist, and He said they were going to have to eat His flesh. Well, I mean, people left and right because first of all, Jews couldn't drink any kind of blood, let alone human blood, and so it looked pretty bad. And people were leaving, and He looked at the apostles and said, "Will you leave also?" And the only thing that kept them with Him wasn't because they understood it any better than anybody else, but they loved Him and they trusted Him. Their trust was an expression of the love for Him. And that's what He asks of us all the time.
Right. And our trust is being tested, but He hasn't abandoned us to that. He will help us pass that test or live through it.
Absolutely. But if he makes it easy for us, when things go easy, we're not at our best.
No. Yeah, if all you have is a easy life, you will not become what God wants you to become.
Remember, yesterday we celebrated the anniversary of September 11th. Well, first of all, people became very united in our country, and there was no worry about separation of religion, state and religion. I mean, there were shrines all over New York and the sidewalks and whatever, you know. And then as things got, better, we started following up again.
I recognize that pattern in my own life. Mm-hmm. I suppose we all do. That there's a certain way in which you become, you get comfortable and then you drift off from the things that you should be. You're less ardent or even regular in your prayer. I don't need God right now. I got this covered. I have to tell you, Father, I told you Rose Sweet's going to be on second hour, and Rose is an absolutely wonderful person. So, of course, she brings us candy before the show. Mm-hmm. And that candy.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, and that candy had nuts in it. And apparently one of those was in my throat. So and then Rose Sweet, of course, is in the booth, and she can just die laughing at me while I'm choking on the candy. Now, yeah, normally what happens when that happens, Father, is you have a smart soundboard person who just goes to a commercial. But sometimes they forget. They're laughing so hard, tears are coming out of their eyes, and they forget to do it. 888. Go ahead.
You live a hard life. There's no question.
Isn't it true, Father? I live a very hard life, and not everyone understands that, Father. I'm really glad to have you here to understand the difficulties I go through. Let me tell you about, as a matter of fact, let me take a minute to tell you about how difficult my life is. February 10th through 17th, I'm going on a cruise with Catholic Answers. We're going to cruise the Caribbean with dozens and dozens and scores of our best friends. We hope many people will come. And I'm telling you that because I want to let people know that you can get tickets to go on the cruise with us at CatholicAnswersCruise.com. We're going to visit Fort Lauderdale, the Bahamas, Jamaica, Grand Cayman Island, Mexico. But the main thing is we'll have lots of time together. You can sit and have dinner with Tim Staples, which takes about 6 hours if you have dinner with Tim Staples, because he just sits and talks and answers questions, and it's fun. Chris Check will be there, our president. Carlo Broussard's going to be doing talks, and you can have dinner with Carlo too. Father Chrysostom Baer, the Norbertine Prior of St. Michael's Abbey, will be our chaplain. He'll be celebrating masses on board ship, hearing confessions. And you'll just have a ball. You'll just have a great time. So I will be there as well. I just say that to illustrate to you, Father, that you were right about how difficult my life is. CatholicAnswersCruise.com is how you sign up. CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
It's the start of a new day for Morning Catholic Radio.
Isn't it the case that when you're stirring food in a pot, it burns less, like, because it's not just sitting there?
What about your forearms? You get some nice buff forearms when you're doing that stirring.
But let me say, I can totally
get this for you, Gloria. You don't need any help stirring the pot.
You know, you all make it so easy for me.
Morning Glory, Catholic from the start. Weekday mornings, 7 Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. We're very pleased to have Father Vincent Serpa, our longtime chaplain, back with us. He now lives up in the San Francisco Bay Area in a community of his confrere Dominicans, the Dominicans. If you don't know what a Dominican is, Dominicans are a religious order of the Catholic Church founded by St. Dominic. In the year 1216. That's what I was going to say. 1216.
Yes.
And they have the letters OP after their name, the Order of Preachers. And we I have to say, for years and years, benefited from Father's preaching here. Today, our topic is, well, your spiritual life. If you have questions about prayer, the interior life, family life, sacramental life, we're happy to take those calls. Father will be happy to answer them. We're ready to go to them. Father, are you ready to take a call?
Sure.
All right. Kevin in Iowa, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio. You are up first with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please. Kevin, have I got you there with me? Oops. Nope. Just because Nick gives me a look. Nick is the sound operator, and he gives me a look every time that happens. And you can just keep your look there, Nick. That was not me. Kevin apparently decided he had other things to do today. So I'm going to go to Tricia in Syracuse, New York, listening on WTMI 88.1. Tricia, your question for Father Serpa.
Hi there. Thanks for my call. I am a cradle Catholic who went to a Protestant college, and I had to defend my faith, so I became a stronger Catholic. But one of the things that suffered because of that was my devotion to Mary. And while I know things like the Our Father completely, you know, I listened to Scott Hahn with that, I'm looking for some suggestions as to how to mend my relationship with her. I have begun to say the rosary. It's something I've never done before. I just hear words like co-redemptrix, and sometimes I just feel like the devotion to her by other Catholics is so strong that sometimes I wonder if they kind of, I don't know, lose that. It's like the end result is Jesus and God. So I'm just wondering if you can guide me with some suggestions for my prayer life with her and how to establish a proper relationship that I'm comfortable with, but that puts her in the position that she deserves to be in.
Okay, well, the greatest thing you can do for a Blessed Mother is to worship her son, to focus on her son, because it's what she's all about him. And what's so great about her is that God determined that she be his mother is no minor thing. You know, the saints, the angels are considered higher, more intelligent, and a higher level than we. But they are second to her. She's the queen of angels as well as of the rest of us, queen of heaven. The fact that she was that close, she became the channel by which he entered the human race, makes her unique. There are many people who cooperated in our redemption, St. Joseph, St. John the Baptist, and many others. You could call them co-redemptors as well, in the sense that they cooperated with our Lord bringing us salvation. But she is unique in that she was the actual channel physical channel that in which this happened. If we were to visit him when he was a child, we would think of not looking at her because she is his mother. That never changes. You know, our mothers always will have a special relationship with us because of who they are to us. So with her. And so if we value him to any degree, then we value her as well because he came to us through her. And that relationship will always be there. She will always be his mother. Therefore, her relationship with him is very great. And so by recognizing this in her, we're not taking anything away from the Lord. Quite the opposite. The more we recognize how gifted she is, the more we recognize who he is. Or maybe the other way around, the more we recognize who he is, the more we recognize how great she is because of who he is. Mary does not seek attention away from him. Her whole being magnifies the Lord. In other words, her whole being makes him more evident because he truly became man through her. So anything we do to befriend her is a great thing. You know, whenever I celebrate Mass privately, when I finish Mass, I turn to the little chapel. I turn to the icon of Our Blessed Mother, and I sing a hymn that is the oldest prayer known to Mary in the Western Church. It's not the Hail Mary; that came much later. This one's called the Subtuum, in which we acknowledge her as who she is, and ask her aid. And I do that because I can't think of anything that would please her more while the Lord is present within me, within my very body, than to acknowledge her. And I can't think of anything that would please the Lord more than for me to do that to her, his mother. That moment, I know I'm pleasing them both. And I know that I'm, you know, as much of a sinner as I am, I am pleasing God because of her. Does that help at all?
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What is it called?
It's called the Subtuum. You can look it up on, you can Google it, I guess. S-U-B, that's the first the word that means under, and Tuum, T-U-U-M, and Tuum. Stop making fun of me.
I'm sorry, Father. Oh, it's not like you didn't make fun of me when I was choking on a nut. Trisha, anyway. Today's it's a optional memorial for the Holy Name of the Virgin Mary as well. Right. So you called on a good day, Trisha. Thank you very much for that call. Is a letter now? Is Kevin back? Have we got Kevin back who we were going to go to before? Okay, Kevin is back in Iowa listening on Iowa Catholic Radio. Kevin, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes, hi, Father Serpa and Sai. Hi. I just had a quick question. My brain sometimes has a little bit of problems focusing, I guess, and I've kind of had that all my life. Like, and it'll sometimes tell me lies about God. I was just wondering if you had any suggestions, because it's like I would never turn away from God, and I know that the Catholic Church is the one true faith, but it's still just frustrating, I suppose, to be assaulted by things that I know that aren't true and that my brain does happen to consistently do. So I just was wondering if you had any advice.
Well, the fact that you know that this is happening, the fact that you were able to explain it to me just now, shows that you realize that when these thoughts come into your head, they're not you. They're involuntary, and that you don't agree with them. And the Lord understands that even better than we do. So the unpleasantness of it is something you can offer to the Lord as an act of love, and then something positive comes from the whole thing, because it's not an easy thing to experience. But if you can make a prayer out of that, you know, but the sacrifice, the little sacrifice that you offer by doing this is a way of loving him, and it's very pleasing to him. So, which is the reason why the Lord allows you to have that. Not everybody has it, but some people do. But you're not alone in that. And this is in no way a sign of God's displeasure with you. He loves you very much, and he's giving you this opportunity to let him know, or to let yourself know, that you love him too. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks very much. I'm glad we were able to get you back on. 888-318-7884 is our number. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest, and we're talking about your spiritual life. If you have a question about the spiritual life in general, about your personal, where you are in your spiritual life, or you want to talk about the sacraments, family life, those things are welcome as well. Tim, in Missouri, you are up next. Your question for Father Vincent Serpa, Tim. Tim, do we have you, Tim?
Did you say Tim in Missouri?
Yes. Are you not in Missouri?
Not in Missouri, no. Ohio.
You're in Ohio. Are you in a car? Were you driving? Were you start in Missouri and now
I'm
you're
in a car, yeah.
Okay, so you've clearly...
I'm heading home from work right now, so...
Okay. Well, all right, Tim in Ohio. I apologize for that.
No problem. So my question is about the rosary. Okay. I've been a Catholic basically my whole life. My wife has become Catholic very recent. And we recently went to another family from the church. And before we left, we all said the rosary together. And it was just pretty amazing. But on the way home, my wife asked me, why did we say the rosary? Where did it come from? I've done some research, and none of the answers I see online still help me to answer a question for her. So how was the rosary developed? Who made it? Why did we say it the way we do? You know, I guess I understand why we pray to Mary, but I don't understand why we pray as we do the rosary.
Okay. Well, first of all, the rosary is made up of a lot of Hail Marys. There are about, you know, every decade there's an Our Father, and then there are 10 Hail Marys. And then we end up with the doxology glorifying the Trinity. But the Hail Mary is all about the incarnation of Jesus, because Mary is all about the incarnation of Jesus. So what we do in the first part of the Hail Mary, we simply repeat the words of the angel Gabriel to her. Hail, although we add her name Mary, hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now that last part was the words of her cousin Elizabeth when she visited her. Then the second part, just asking her to pray for us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, which she is, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We would really like to have her praying for us at the hour of our death. To have her at our side praying for us to her son is a great thing. So for us to say that repeatedly while we reflect on some aspect of the Lord's life, whether it's his birth or his passion or the institution of the Eucharist or the resurrection, we're praying. And if we're distracted, if all we can just do is say the Hail Mary, Mother Teresa's sisters go walking two by two and through the streets of Calcutta and everywhere else in the world praying the rosary. Well, they're not able to reflect on all these things, but their hands are moving as they go from bead to bead, and they're saying Hail Mary, full of grace, even though they may be distracted. That part of them is praying, and that's valuable. That has a value all its own. The more we can unite with the Lord with our mind, the better. But that's why driving in the car, there are all kinds of distractions. I do that in the car quite frequently. But that part of us is praying, and that's pleasing to God, certainly pleasing to her as well. So that's why it's such a good thing, because it's hard for us to meditate on what we're doing, what we're saying, if we're moving around and things are happening around us. But at least part of us is praying, and that's a good thing. Okay?
Okay, Tim?
So do you know who developed it? You know, who developed the rosary? Did it come from?
Well, you're asking a Dominican, who developed the rosary? Okay.
Well, actually it was a gradual thing, and by the time we really, by the time we know the Dominican Order's connection with the rosary was already, it existed quite mm-hmm. as we know it today, and it was during the reign of Pope St. Pius V, and it was through the rosary, through the praying of the rosary, that the Christian forces were triumphant in the Battle of Lepanto with the Turks, and this was transmitted, I won't say transmitted, but Pope St. Pius V knew about the victory long before anyone else did around there, because he was miles away. He was in Rome, but he knew it right away through a vision. But he knew that that they would be triumphant so long as they asked our Blessed Mother's help. And otherwise, Europe would have gone, if the Turks had won, Europe could have become Muslim and wouldn't be a Christian place at all, because they were expected to win. They were the larger force, but through Our Lady's intercession, it went the other way.
Tim, if you want to look that up, it's the Battle of Lepanto, L-E-P-A-N-T-O. There's no U in it. And we will have to take a break, however, Tim, so we'll leave it there. Enjoy your trip back to Missouri from Ohio. Thank you very much for your call. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour. If you've got a question of a spiritual nature, 888-31-TRUTH is our number. Right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture's moral center continues to fly apart, and with every form of deviance publicly aired and celebrated, we have no choice but to equip our kids to understand about such issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. Silence can no longer be an option. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Interested in visiting Catholic Answers? If you live in or plan to visit beautiful Southern California, we'd love to have you come by for a tour. You can meet our apologists and staff, visit our chapel, and watch the broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. To arrange a tour, call us at 619-387-7200 or email us at visit@catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa here with us this hour. We haven't gotten to talk with Father Vincent in a long time. He was for many, many years a chaplain here at Catholic Answers, apologist, and you always heard him on Catholic Answers Minute, right? That was the first got to know your voice. And I remember when I met you, I thought you were going to do a Catholic Answers Minute. I was all set for you to do it, but turned out you did other things as well. Tim, who was our caller from the Missouri-Ohio area, previously had asked what were the origins of the rosary. You got back to the Battle of Lepanto. But we never did answer the question, where did the rosary come from?
Well, yes, and as I understand it, I think it was St. Bernardine of Siena, the Franciscan, that added, I think, Jesus to, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, because the scripture just says, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, but doesn't say Jesus, although that's what it meant. By the way, here's a translation of the Subtuum. This is this was first found in the Greek papyrus in the year 300. It's the oldest known prayer to the Virgin. This is how it goes. We turn to you for protection, Holy Mother of God, listen to our prayers and help us in our needs. Save us from every danger, glorious and blessed Virgin. So that's what I pray when I do that. when I do that, when I finish Mass.
It's really something, though, to think about how this, we're, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of years of people knowing Mary and seeking her protection and help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
All right, so give us a clue to where the rosary
came from. So the Hail Mary, as I said, the first part was from Scripture, and then later on, the Holy Mary. When St. Dominic lived, the first part only existed. They didn't have the Holy Mary, Mother of God, yet. So the Hail Mary wasn't completely developed when St. Dominic lived, and because there's a tradition that St. Dominic received the rosary from Blessed Mother, you know, in this vision and so on. But historically, that just isn't, there's nothing to support that. But we do know for sure that by the time of St. Pius V, the rosary was as it is now, but so it gradually was developed. That people would use the lay brothers in the Dominican order and other orders as well had a knot of a string of with 10 knots on it, and they'd say the Our Father on it, and then later on the Aves, but the in place of Divine Office, because the lay brothers usually didn't know how to read. And so they would use that every day. So many of those that they would pray each day in lieu of not being able to read the divine liturgy of the hours. So that was the beginnings of the rosary, and then later on it took on a form that is more familiar with what we would be familiar with. How that happened, we don't seem to know exactly how it happened. We know it did, mm-hmm. but there doesn't seem to be anyone telling this in history, you know, we don't seem to have any sources that explain it, as far as I know, and I've never heard anybody who knows more than that.
It just kind of comes organically out of the life of the church and develops into what we have now as the rosary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Tim, that I didn't get that app, but I hope Tim's still listening there in the Missouri, Ohio area. Let's go to Gene in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on the Stations of the Cross. Gene, your question for Father Vincent Serpa. Gene, are you there?
Hello?
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 Is this Gene?
Hello? No, this is Rachel.
Okay, Rachel, if you've got a question for Father Vincent Serpa, you go right ahead.
Well, actually, I was listening about the rosary and that, and there's a book by Father Roman Guardini.
Yes, mm-hmm. Father Roman Guardini. We know him. Book. Yeah, he's a great theologian.
He wrote a book about Mary and the rosary and how it developed in that. From my Catholic schooling, from what I understand, that we got the number of things. There originally, of course, there were only 15 decades for the rosary, which kind of, and there were 10 Aves with each decade, because 10. But anyhow, it was patterned on, because part of the office was the Psalms, and there were 150 Psalms.
And 150 Aves.
And so that, yeah, they kind of patterned it, like you
right.
were saying.
As I said, it was prayed, and they used the rosary as a means of praying the Liturgy of the Hours, because they couldn't read the Psalms.
Rachel, thank you very much. We'll look up Roman Guardini's book on that. You know who really liked Roman Guardini as a theologian? Do you know, Father?
No.
Pope Benedict XVI. Big fan of his book, The Lord. I think it was The Lord that was very impressive in the early life of Pope Benedict. Let's try Carol in Wisconsin, listening on EWTN online. Do I have you there, Carol?
Hi, you have me here.
And your question for Father.
I would like to know, I have this beautiful Catholic prayer book, and a portion of it, about in the middle, has the promises of the Sacred Heart. And the 12th promise is, I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who communicate on the first Friday in 9 consecutive months the grace of final penitence. They shall not die in my disgrace nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. Now, what I want to know is, on those Fridays for those 9 months, would there be a specific prayer or a number of prayers to pray on those Fridays for the Sacred Heart?
Certainly, going to Mass and receiving communion on that day is, I believe, is part of it. I'm not familiar with any particular prayer. I know that in our parish on the first Friday, there are some prayers that we say, and we sing two hymns to the Sacred Heart. But I don't know if it's that specific. It may vary from place to place. The big thing is, again, that we pray to him at that time, and that we seek his friendship. Because if we do that, certainly the chances, well, he's telling us that in fact, we will die a good death because we've been living a good life. if we're, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the heart is, we're not praying to a physical organ in Jesus, you know, the pump that pumps blood through his body. We're praying to him, that which is essentially him. When we say we want to get to the heart of the matter, we're getting to that which is the very center of whatever it is we're concerned about. And when we pray to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we are praying to the second person of the Blessed Trinity who became man and died on the cross for us. This is the heart of who he is. So we are honestly acknowledging him to be who he is, and we do this hopefully more than just the first Friday of each month, but at least having that anchor each month where we're focusing on him affects everything we do. You know, it affects our life because of who he is, and that's what the whole devotion is about: is being united with his heart. You're united with the very person that he is, so whether we say three Hail Marys or an Our Father and Hail Mary, or we've just been in the quiet time before the Blessed Sacrament, or whatever it is we do, whatever kind of prayer it is that we say, that's what's important. The friendship with Christ is the devotion of the Sacred Heart really is all about.
Okay. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Carol. 888-318-7884, our number. Let's go to Gene. I don't have a location for Gene, so we'll just go to Gene and hope he's there. Gene, are you with us?
I am here.
You have a question for Father?
Yes. Hello, Si. Hello, Father.
Hi, Gene.
Hi.
My question, Father, has to do with the situation where a good person who is also a good family friend, but who is also in a legally recognized same-sex so-called marriage, could be considered suitable as a godparent for infant baptism. Is that clear, Father?
Yeah, I think it's clear, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Church requires that at least one of the godparents be a practicing Catholic and be in the good standing with the Church, and one has to be that in order to be a godparent. And now the second godparent does not have to be a Catholic, it doesn't have to be a Catholic. But the point of it is that they will if. If the parents are no longer able to, for whatever reason, bring the child up in the faith, that this person will do that. And, of course, if the person is doing that, the person has to lead and teach the child not only the truths of the faith, but has to teach them by his or her example. And that means being a faithful Catholic. So the whole point of having a godparent is that. And So you would have to have a practicing person, and you know, that it's not watering down anything. It's not having a problem with one aspect of the faith or another. They have to be willing to accept it and live it in order for them to be a godparent. That's the whole point of why having a godparent. It's not a matter of rewarding someone for their friendship or the fact that they're good people. It's a matter of having them capable of sharing their faith in Christ and the Church with the child if the child should ever need that.
Okay, Gene.
Okay, Father, I understand that, but would you consider the fact that this person is in such a situation of same-sex so-called marriage, would that be an impediment to considering the person a practicing Catholic in itself?
It would be, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. And it would be analogous to someone who is not married and living, a heterosexual couple living together. You wouldn't say mm-hmm. that person is currently living the fullness of the Catholic faith. Am I right about that, Father? Or am I?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, Gene, I'm going to say thank you very much for that call then. We've got a few more that we want to get to before the top of the hour. Do you want to say something, Father?
We'll keep him in our prayers.
We will indeed. Thank you very much for that call, Gene. Hey, it seems weird to even mention this, but if you want to get Catholic Answers as a Christmas present, maybe for your pastor, maybe one of the priests at your church, maybe your kid's teacher at school, maybe for a friend or a family member, the Christmas Advent issue will be their first issue. And you can send them a gift subscription, but you got to do it by the end of this month in order for us to be able to process it in time. So you go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com to subscribe, and the annual Advent Christmas issue will be their first issue so long as you do it before the end of this month. It does make a lovely gift for those people in your life who you would like to have one of the finest Catholic publications in the world, something that helps us. In every issue, you'll find 10, maybe 20, maybe 30 things in there that help you to understand the faith, explain the faith, and live the faith. Go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and get it today.
Catholic Answers Live.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa, our old friend, our beloved chaplain of many years, is our guest this hour, and we're taking calls of a spiritual nature. If you have a question about the spiritual life, especially if it's a particular question about your spiritual life, something that you need some help or direction with, we'd love to take that call, 888-318-7884, the number. We go now to Isaiah in Minnesota, listening on WWEN radio there in Minnesota. Isaiah, your question for Father.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was wondering, I was just confirmed last Pentecost, and I was kind of wondering, should I be in the state of mortal sin? Does that cut me off of those gifts that I would have received?
What was that again?
So Isaiah was just confirmed, received into the church.
Uh-huh.
And he's asking if he was in a state of mortal sin, would that cut him off from the graces?
Well, you certainly receive the sacrament, but if you're in the state of mortal sin, you're still in the state of mortal sin. That's not the sacrament of penance. You haven't been absolved of your sins. It's just the same as if you'd gotten married. You'd still be sacramentally married, but you'd still be in the state of mortal sin. You have to confess your sins if you want to be absolved, if you want to be free of that. There's no shortcut.
Did I characterize that correctly, Isaiah? Is that what you were asking?
Yes, you did. So, Father, you're saying... Mm-hmm. Yes, you're confirmed.
It's valid. It's valid. You are confirmed, but you're still in the same mortal sin. You still have to go to confession.
But as far as then, so those the gifts or the graces received in confirmation, they're still there and they're still, I mean, working, for lack of a better term, but I definitely still need to go to confession for something.
You're confirmed, but you're confirmed that you received the sacrament, but you're not receiving the effects of the grace. No, not until your soul is clean.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That answered my question.
Okay, good enough.
Okay, thank you, Isaiah. Thanks very much. Let's go to George in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on 1380 AM. George, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate everything y'all do.
Thank you.
I just heard Father say something talking about the rosary that kind of really went against everything I thought I knew. When he was talking about reciting the prayers, but maybe not paying full attention. Mm-hmm. I always felt like if we were doing that, we were kind of babbling on like the pagans. And actually, if I find myself, you know, praying the rosary, and then I start to daydream, I kind of feel like those Hail Marys don't count, and I need to go back and redo them.
No, if you're deliberately praying and without realizing it, you find your mind wandering, you're not doing that on purpose. The purpose that you're working on is the fact that you want to pray. Now, if you deliberately start looking at other things, think, well, this is boring and I want to think about other things, then you're deliberately not thinking about what you're saying. But see, the thing is, meditating on the mysteries, you're not thinking about the words you're saying either. You're thinking about the life of the Lord, and that's prayer. That's one of the things you shoot for. You know, say you're meditating on the crowning with thorns. You're focusing on that, and that's okay. The rosary, it's a prayer on many, many levels. The most humble level is the one of just saying it and not being able to think a lot about it because of your situation, you know. But even that is prayer. Now, it can be raised much higher than that. You can have real union with the Lord, so much so that you don't even remember which bead you're on, because you're in union with the Lord in some aspect of his life, or just by the fact of who he is. That's a great thing. That's at its highest form. But everything, you know, from the just reciting the words is a prayer. Okay?
Well, thank you for that. It's a comfort for me, I guess, to know that there is value even into contemplation.
Yeah, sure. Right. Is it a general rule, Father? Or you, I actually think I might have heard you say this, but if you're intending to pray, you are praying.
If that's what your intention is, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're not very good at it, or, you know, today, or you're very distractible, or you're sleepy, or you're, mm-hmm. Whatever, it's the intention that makes it the prayer. It's not the...
Well, that's true of the priest celebrating Mass. He may have gotten up in the morning, have a headache, not feel well, hard to concentrate, but his intention is to do everything he's supposed to do, including the consecration of the host and the wine. Then it's all valid. It's all there because his intention is to do that.
Yeah. Okay, George, thank you very, very much.
Thanks so much.
Okay, Danny in Missouri. Listening. Oh, is he really in Missouri, or are you guys tricking me again? Danny in Missouri, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio channel 130. You are up next, Danny. Are you there with us?
Yes, I am, and I'm in southwest Missouri, out by Branson. I live on top of a mountain.
I am so happy to hear that, because the last guy that they told me was in Missouri was actually in Ohio, and he was either a very fast driver or we got it wrong. But thanks for calling from the mountain. Your question for Father.
Well, my question is I was a Protestant minister. I'm no longer am because I didn't agree with what was being taught about the Catholic Church, and things bothered me many years. Well, I start my fourth RCIA class tonight, and I'll be 62. But my spouse thinks we want to do the rosary too many times. I get up in the morning, want to say it with her in the afternoon, go to bed saying it, and then sometimes at 2 or 3 in the morning I wake up and feel the need to say it again. And she says I'm going overboard, and I try to explain to me it's praying to God and to Mary, so how could you ever pray too much?
Absolutely. Padre Pio said it all the time. He called it his weapon, and it hung on his cord, you know, on the white cord that he wore as a Franciscan, and he just pulled it out, and he was doing it all the time. So, yeah, no, don't worry about that. That's fine. I'm glad that you're able to do that. More importantly, God is too.
And so how far down the mountain do you have to come to go to RCIA?
I drive about an hour to go get here.
God bless you, brother. Well, we'll keep
you. And I asked for prayer for her because she has cancer, and she has been out. She was raised Catholic, and she's been out of the Catholic Church for over 35 years. She got cancer a year ago, and I told her, you're going back to church. And I drove her to the Catholic Church. The first few times I didn't go in with her, but I've been going in with her ever since. And then I just talked to the priest, and I says, you know, I want to become Catholic. And she said, are you doing it because I'm Catholic? I said, no, I'm doing it because my reading of the Bible tells me the Catholic truth is right. And I said, and my faith came out of Catholic Church, so why not belong to the original church that don't have no lies in there about who Mary is and everything?
Well, what do you think of that, Father? What do you think of that testimony? I know. Wow.
That's great.
Danny, I hope you'll call again as you continue on your journey. We'll certainly keep your wife in our prayers, given her cancer. But God bless you on your journey into the full communion with the Catholic Church. We are very blessed to have you.
It took me 62 years, but I finally come home. Now is the way I feel.
Oh, well, what was it that St. Augustine said? That he waited too long. What was the long have I? Oh, too late have I loved thee, or late have I loved thee, Lord.
Late have I
loved thee, Lord. Yeah, it took us a minute. It took three brilliant theological minds to come together on that one, but we did it. Late have I loved thee, but it's still, love is love. Christopher in Florida listening on TuneIn Radio. You are up next. Your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening. So I have a question for you. It's bothered me a lot. So my family's from Cuba, and I've been dating this person named Michelle for about 3 years now, and Michelle's family's also from Cuba. But you guys probably know, being in the Catholic Church, there's two different Cubas, pre-communism, after communism. Pre-communism, there were a lot of Catholics. Everyone prayed what I would say in the normal way. And after communism, they made it illegal. So a lot of people coming from Cuba that were raised after communism, although they say they're Catholic, there's a lot of what I have found to be confusion between the Catholic Church and Santeria and all kinds of deities.
Christopher, we're going to run up against a break. I just want to say that's an intentional policy of the Communist Party of Cuba, is to confuse Catholics about their faith and to diminish that faith. But let's get to that question, and God bless you for pointing it out on our air. I'm happy to say it any time, any day. But your question for Father.
Well, my question is the following. So I'm used to doing and praying to Mary and praying to Jesus. Michelle, I find that Michelle and their family a lot, they pray to different versions of the Virgin. And I want to know if that's something that I've done.
Well, we have different titles for Mary. So, and you're coming in and out, but is that what you mean, Mary, under different titles? Like, for example, Stella Maris, the Star of the Sea, or Our Lady of Sorrows?
No.
Or do you mean a different...
I mean, they're calling it Mary the Snow. For example, Michelle had an issue with a coworker, and the mother suggested, okay, well, write the name of the person, put it in a glass of water, put it in the freezer, and then pray to the Mary of the Snow.
Okay, that sounds like superstition, Father.
It certainly is. No, Mary is a person. She's the mother of Jesus, and it's the same Mary. I mean, there's no lot of Marys. There's one.
Yeah.
And you pray, you ask her help, you ask her prayers. There's no magic involved. You don't have to pour water and put it in the refrigerator. None of that stuff. Okay?
Okay. Well, Christopher, we'll have to leave it there. We had a rough connection with Christopher, so I hope that he did hear that. But yeah, having all those titles for Mary is the same as sometimes for your spouse. Well, not you, Father, but you know, you have different pet names in a way. I'm not trying to diminish it, but it's affectionate, loving names for Mary that we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Thank you for that enthusiastic endorsement, Father.
Can I do a blessing?
Please do the blessing. Thank you.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Vincent Serpa. I hope we'll see you again soon down here in San Diego. Thank you, Father.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.